Welcome to Cruise News, your daily update on everything happening at sea. Visit cruisenews.io to see today's stories and sign up for email alerts.
Great to be here. We have a really packed slate today. It almost feels like we're looking at three chapters from a business textbook.
How so?
Well, we've got expansion, inflation, and then retention. It all fits.
I love that framing. Yeah, it's rare that the stories line up so thematically. We're not just talking about, you know, a ship moving from one port to another.
No, not at all.
We are looking at a massive strategic play in the Southern Hemisphere by Carnival Corporation and Nestlé.
A huge play. But then we also have to get down to what it means for the traveler's wallet.
Right. We're definitely going to look at that specifically. A very quiet, but I'd say very aggressive price hike on Carnival Cruise Line's Wi-Fi.
And then to wrap it up, we'll dive into what I think might just be a game changer for loyalty programs with Royal Caribbean Group's new ecosystem approach.
That loyalty story is fascinating. It's really challenging that whole idea of brand loyalty, isn't it?
It is. It's moving from loving one specific cruise line to loving an entire corporate portfolio. But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No, let's start with the big map. Let's head down under.
To Australia and New Zealand.
Exactly. Carnival Cruise Line dropped their deployment for the 2027-2028 season. And it is, well, it's a heavy one. This is a big deal.
It is massive. And you really have to understand the context of what happened last year to get why this matters so much.
You're talking about the P&O merger.
Exactly. Back in March 2025, Carnival Cruise Line basically absorbed P&O Cruises Australia.
And P&O was the local brand, right?
Yeah.
The heritage brand. They were the dominant force there for years.
They were. So when Carnival took over, they didn't just get the ships, you know, the hardware. They inherited the responsibility for the whole market.
They had to prove they weren't just an American line visiting for the summer.
Right. They had to become the new home team.
Mm-hmm.
And this schedule, this is them flexing that muscle.
So what's the headline from Carnival on this?
Well, Peter Little, the country manager for Carnival Corporation, he said this answers the call for more local convenience. And he specifically called the brand the only year-round global player in the region.
That's very specific wording.
It is. It's a statement. It says, we're not going anywhere.
Let's talk numbers because the scale here is kind of staggering.
Go for it.
It's a full 12-month schedule, over 200 cruises, 4 ships, and 39 different destinations. They're projecting more than 500,000 guests.
500,000. And the strategy isn't just about volume, it's about reach. They're keeping cities, but the port logistics and, frankly, the profitability can be tricky there. You have to sail a lot further to get to the, you know, the sunny Queensland or Pacific Island destinations.
Oh,
okay.
Bringing it back now signals that Carnival believes the market is finally strong enough to support it.
I really liked seeing the reaction from the locals in the reports. There was this one quote from a grandmother in Adelaide, Shirley Van Hout. She was described as ecstatic.
And that's what it's all about, right?
It is. Because now she doesn't have to fly to Sydney, get a hotel, and then get on a ship. The holiday just became so much more accessible.
It answers that call for convenience. So let's talk about the ships themselves, because moving 4 of them around a continent is a real puzzle. The one that fascinates me is the Carnival Adventure.
That's the Rover, isn't it? It seems to be popping up everywhere.
It is. It starts in Auckland from May to July 2027. Then, if you fast forward to early 2028, it suddenly shows up in Melbourne.
And those Melbourne trips look great. They have 4-night sailings to Kangaroo Island.
A fantastic spot. It's like a zoo without any fences.
Totally. So Adventure does Melbourne, then what?
Then it moves to Adelaide for its inaugural season in late February 2028, before finally slotting into the Sydney rotation in March. It's a very agile deployment.
So they're moving the supply to where the demand is.
Exactly, rather than making people fly to Sydney all the time.
Meanwhile, the heavy hitter, Carnival Splendor, is just parked in Sydney year-round.
Yep, it's their largest ship in the region, over 113,000 gross tons.
Mm-hmm.
It's the workhorse. But what's interesting there are the themed sailings they're doing.
Oh, I saw that, the Melbourne Cup Cruise.
For international listeners, that's a horse race that basically stops the entire nation of Australia.
It's their Super Bowl.
And Carnival's building a whole cruise around that energy. Then there's a 14-night Mutiny on the Bounty in Fiji trip.
Mutiny on the Bounty. That's a bold theme for a cruise line.
I'm hoping it's just historical education.
And not a suggestion for the passengers.
It's hope. But it shows they're targeting different kinds of cruisers. And we can't forget Brisbane. Carnival Encounter is there year-round, and then you have Carnival Luminosa.
Right, the seasonal one. That's the ship that does Australia in their summer and then heads to Alaska for our summer.
And those repositioning cruises are just monsters. 22, 23 nights across the Pacific.
Who takes those?
It's a specific kind of traveler. You have to really love sea days. But, you know, the per day cost is usually incredibly low. It's a cheap way to see the world if you have the time.
So the big takeaway for Australia is just consolidation.
Total consolidation. Carnival has filled the P&O gap and basically said, we are the Australian cruise line now. If you want to cruise from there in 2027, odds are you're getting on a Carnival ship.
Okay, so while cruisers down under are getting new itineraries, the rest of us are dealing with, well, something less fun.
Let's talk money.
Let's talk about the cost of staying connected. We have to talk about Wi-Fi.
Oh, the quiet inflation.
It was so quiet, no press release, no big email. The prices just changed.
And we're not talking about small changes. These are double-digit percentage increases across the board.
Okay, let's break down the numbers. The social plan, that's the basic one, right?
Yep, just social media and airline sites.
That jumped from $15.30 to $18.70 per person per day.
That's a 22% increase, practically overnight.
Then the value plan is up to over $22. And the premium plan, the one you need for streaming, is now almost $24 a day.
And these are the pre-purchase prices, the ones that are supposed to be the discount.
Exactly. So let's do the math for, say, a family of four, two parents, two teens. Everyone wants the premium plan.
Of course they do. The kids need to stream.
So the multi-device bundle for that went from $75 to $84 a day.
Okay, so on a seven-day cruise, that's almost $600 just for Wi-Fi.
That's a car payment. For some people, that's a mortgage payment.
It's a serious line item on the budget. And here's where it gets even more concerning.
The dynamic pricing.
The dynamic pricing. This is like surge pricing for Uber, right?
Pretty much. The prices we just talked about are the baseline. But if you look at a cruise in 2026, say during spring break,
the algorithm just pushes them higher.
We saw an example, March 2026 on the Carnival Freedom. The social plan wasn't $18.70. It was $20.40.
And the premium.
Over $25 per person per day.
So that family of four we mentioned, their Wi-Fi bill could easily be over $700, maybe even $800.
So why? Is there a reason for this beyond just charging more?
Well, it's a mix. If you look at the trend line, back in October 2020, the social plan was $6.80.
Right, $6.80, and now it's pushing $20.
That's about 175% increase. But to be fair, the product is completely different.
Okay, how so?
Back then, cruise Wi-Fi was painful. It was old satellite tech. You'd wait forever for an email. Now Carnival has Starlink across the entire fleet.
Ah, the Starlink rollout. So the speed is actually good now.
It's comparable to home internet. And that's the key. It's shifted from being a perk to being a utility.
That's a good way to put it. A perk is nice to have. A utility is essential.
And they know people will pay for it. The demand is inelastic. People are terrified of being offline for a week.
So the advice for our listeners is pretty clear here.
Oh, absolutely. Do not wait until you're on this ship to buy Wi-Fi.
Even with these new higher prices, you're still saving up to 20% by buying it beforehand.
Check your cruise planner early. If you see a price you can live with, lock it in. It is not going to get any cheaper.
Okay, let's shift gears to our last story. And this one really connects to spending, but more about how you're rewarded for it.
It's about loyalty. And it's a big move from the Royal Caribbean Group.
They're launching something in early 2026 called Points Choice.
And this is really a shift from what I'd call brand loyalty to portfolio loyalty.
I like that. Explain what that means. What is Points Choice?
So Royal Caribbean Group is the parent company for Royal Caribbean International, Celebrity Cruises, and Silversea. Three very different brands.
And three very different and separate loyalty programs. Crown & Anchor, Captain's Club, and Venetian Society.
Right. They operated in silos. If you sailed Royal, you earned Royal points. If you went on a Celebrity cruise, you were basically starting from scratch.
They did introduce status matching a couple years ago, though.
They did. So your tier level, like Diamond, would carry over.
Mm.
But Points Choice is a huge leap forward. It lets you earn points on one brand and then choose to apply them to another brand's program.
Whoa. Okay, that is a big deal. So let me get this straight. Let's say I'm a loyal Royal Caribbean cruiser trying to hit Diamond status.
Okay.
But my wife wants to do a Celebrity cruise for our anniversary. You know, a bit more upscale.
In the old system, you do that cruise, you get a few useless Captain's Club points, and your progress on Royal would just stall.
Which would make me not want to try Celebrity.
Exactly. With Points Choice, you take that Celebrity cruise, but you just tell the system, hey, send these points to my Crown & Anchor account.
So I get the anniversary trip I want, and I still make progress in the loyalty program I actually care about.
That's it. It completely removes the feeling that you're cheating on your favorite cruise line.
And that has to be the whole strategy. Jason Liberty, the CEO, said he wants to keep guests in their orbit.
They know your tastes change. Sometimes you want water slides with the kids. Sometimes you want quiet luxury. Instead of losing you to a competitor, they keep you in the family.
It makes the whole ecosystem so much stickier.
It does. But what makes this really juicy is when you put it side by side with what Carnival Cruise Lines is doing right now.
Oh, yes. The contrast could not be more stark. It's like two opposite philosophies on loyalty.
It is. Carnival is ditching their VIFP program for something called Carnival Rewards in 2026. And the reception has been, let's call it spicy.
Spicy is a polite word for it. They're moving to a revenue-based model, right? Points for money spent, not days sailed.
Which is great for people in suites, but not so great for the loyal cruiser who books cheap inside cabins 5 times a year.
And the really big one, a 2-year expiration on your status. If you don't sail, you lose it.
Plus, they got rid of some of those little perks people loved, like the VIFP pins for gold members.
Yeah.
It feels like they're tightening the rules.
So you have Royal Caribbean Group over here saying, we'll give you more flexibility. We want to make it easier to stay with us.
And then you have Carnival over there saying you have to spend more, you have to sail constantly, or you're out.
It's a real divergence. Royal is betting on that ecosystem value. They're removing the risk for the customer.
Right. If I try a Silversea cruise and I hate it, well, at least the points went to my Royal Caribbean account. It's a safety net.
We should probably add that Royal hasn't released all the fine print yet.
That's true. We don't know the transfer ratios or if there are limits. But the overall intent is very, very clear.
So, to wrap it all up, we have Carnival basically claiming an entire continent. We have the cost of something essential like Wi-Fi skyrocketing as it becomes a utility.
And we have this battle for loyalty, with one company opening the doors and the other one seemingly tightening the locks. It's a time of real evolution for the industry's business models.
It definitely keeps things interesting. Here's a final thought for you to chew on today. With Royal letting you cross-pollinate points and Carnival moving to a spend-based model, are we seeing the end of brand loyalty as we know it and the beginning of portfolio loyalty? And if that's the case, what does that mean for the smaller independent lines that don't have a portfolio to offer?
That is the billion-dollar question. And it might be what forces the next round of mergers.
Thanks for listening to Cruise News. Visit cruisenews.io to catch up on the latest updates and sign up for free email alerts.